Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Way In Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin, joined with Trey Patterson tonight as co-host. Chris Ricketts still is not here. Trey, how you doing,
Yeah. Buddy? Yeah, man. We're hoping Chris is going to join us back pretty soon. I know he's got himself going to the hospital tonight. So we're, he's in our thoughts and our prayers. So we're making it without him, Tarvin.
Yeah, and his wife had surgery just probably a couple of hours ago. She had some blood clots in her leg from her broken leg from the car accident. So she's out of surgery, recovering. Surgery went well. They removed the clot. So just keep her in your prayers. It's just a tough time they're going through right now. So we really miss Chris. We want him back soon. But Trey? It's been a lot going on since Wednesday. I know Wednesday we talked about it was kind of slow in the sports world, but it's heated up a little bit.
Yeah, especially in the college football realm. I mean, this week, as much as people want to, say, hey, it's the summertime, why aren't we talking about something else? Well, there's been a lot of college football news going on, and you can't really avoid it. I mean, it's the main topic that everyone's discussing is college football right now.
And that's the thing. I mean, I'll talk about anything as hot, and that's our job to report the good stuff. But it's college football season just around the corner, and it's just NFL's in the news, college football. You have these teams with NCAA sanctions coming down on them. It's just one thing after the other. But in the NFL trade, there's been a rest like every day since Wednesday we've had our show. What's going on in the NFL right now?
Well, hard to say, Tarvin. I mean, here's the thing. Just because a guy plays pro football doesn't necessarily mean they're law-abiding and that they're necessarily the greatest people on the earth. These guys are, getting tons of money and unfortunately at a younger age. And some of these guys are just making very, very bad decisions and, some of them are breaking the law. It's got to suck for the NFL because, I mean, they're trying to last year, a few years, clean up their image. I mean, ever since the whole Ray Carruth incident, that was sort of the low point in my eyes, Tarvin. I don't know about you. I mean, the guy put out tried to kill his wife, and he's serving in federal prison now. He was, a rising star wide receiver. That was kind of the low point, Tarvin, for the NFL and their player misconduct. And now it seems, we haven't had any major things in at least a little bit of time. We're just inundated with arrest, after interaction with police officers, after interaction with police officers. I mean, I don't know what the league can do, Tarvin. What do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, every time I turn on the news or look at a sports site, Detroit Lions are in the news for arrest. I mean, this is a team that made a push last season to get in the playoffs and had high expectations, but I don't know how they're going to play with their entire team suspended, but I don't understand. I'm with you. You said this 100 times on this show. I don't understand why people can't take a cab once they've had a little too much to drink, especially when
Absolutely.
You make millions of dollars. And that's just sick to see that. I mean, these guys I barely make enough money to live, and, I would take a cab. I would get a cab if I was drinking too much, which I don't drink much. But I'm smart enough to know that, a cab will come get me for $30 and they'll keep me from paying a $1,000 fine.
I mean, I'll put this out there now, Tarvin. I mean, we have at least one NFL player who follows us on Twitter. If you are in the Vegas area and you want to go out drinking, I will drive you around, and it will only cost you a couple $100 a night, I promise. Like, I'm putting that out for it. I mean, how good am I, Tarvin? I'm helping the NFL out, right?
Yeah. The Patterson Cab Service.
I mean, that's right. I mean, I have a decent – I have a nice car, I mean, I'll drive them around, to and from the all the casinos, whatever they want, Tarvin. I'm that kind of guy.
I appreciate you being that nice, man. I'm sure they would too. But a couple hundred nights, that's cheap, man. You need to go up a little bit on your prices.
Well, I'm assuming we're going to get tips here.
Well, I mean, last week we had Dez Bryant in the news for beating his mother, and I did get to go listen to the 911 tape, and that's terrible, man. And the key word she said in that was, I'm going to put a stop to this, like it's happened repeatedly. What do you think about that?
I mean, that's obviously not something you want to hear. I mean, you have to, I don't know what the context was to stop to us, whether, you know, it was going on that night or whatever, but I mean, I can't imagine laying a hand on my mom and it just, you know, if that's what comes out of this, Tarvin, it's just very disappointing for Des Bryant and all the Cowboy fans, because, I mean, that's a huge character issue.
Yeah, that's very bad. And it's just like, these guys just need to get into camp. They need to get football on their mind. And it's just, this is a dangerous time of year for both college, NFL, and any sport. When you get close to the season, it's just like you're getting so restless. And it's just like these kids can't stay out of trouble, and even adults. So maybe that something can come up with where they can just have something to do besides go out and get in trouble. But it's just every day now. It's not every week. It's every day. But, you know,
absolutely,
I'm ready for NFL to start, but I'm just tired of talking about the arrest and hearing about them every day. But, you know, what's on everyone's mind right now? Oh, I'm sorry, Trey. Go ahead.
No, I was going to, before we switch over to the, I know we want to talk about college football, but before we get off the NFL, I know you and I talked about this earlier this week. I just wanted to ask your opinion real quick. What do you think about this whole labor agreement? You know, the NFL went through it last year with the players, and now it's the referees and the umpires. And, you know, I don't know if you've been keeping up with that, but they're talking about locking out all of our officiating crews for the NFL. And Ted Hockley, who's the president of the president of the union or some sort of leadership figure in the union, has come out and said that he thinks the game is going to be less safe with other officials, not the officials who normally call the games for the NFL. I mean, what do you think about that? What do you think about what the NFL should do with the officials?
Well, my question is, how is it going to be less safe? I mean, that's just a push for more money, and officials are important, but Trey, you and I could study up on the rule book right now, and as much as we know about football, we could go out there and be decent, you know, officials. But I've watched NFL officials now, and I think they all suck, most of them, and they make some weird calls. So I'm ready to see the scabs come in, Trey.
Well, Tom, here, I guess, you know, here's my big question about this whole thing, and you and I have, I mean, this seems to be you and me are on the same page on this issue, is officials putting themselves into the spotlight of the game. And I think making comments like the game isn't going to be safe because, you know, Ed Hockley isn't calling the Monday night game or whatever it is, I just don't agree with that. And this is where, you know, I think officials need to understand they're an important part of the game, obviously. But, you know, the most important thing is the guys who play on the field. I don't watch the game for the false start call by Ed Hockley. I want them to get the calls right. But, you know, and call a good game. But at the same point, you know, every time you hear of an official in the game, it's usually a negative thing. So, you know, getting a blowing a call, whatever it is. So I would just like to see them not trying to take over the NFL, saying how important, you know, they're the number one important thing. And I don't think they're saying that, but I just don't like saying the game isn't safe without these particular officials.
Trey, you are saying it correctly. I mean, these guys are putting too much stock in themselves, and this game's about the fans and the players. Without those, there wouldn't be any officials. So I'm looking at this, and the officials, they see these players do this all the time, demand more money, we're going to strike, and they actually cave in all the time and give it to them. So I think the officials is kind of a bluff to see. I mean, I would be interesting to see Goodell and some of these guys say, okay, you don't want to call NFL anymore, you're done. Fire them and hire a whole new crew to come in. Because I guarantee you there's officials out there that would love to work for half of the pay these NFL guys are doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of money they make, but I know it's better than I make, Tarvin. So, and I don't know how much of the year they work, so.
Well, I think you'd be surprised at what they made. It's not very much. But like SEC officials, for instance, they're like lawyers, CPAs, accountants, stuff that they can do in their spare time. A lot of these guys will do SEC football. These are not your average Joes out that's called sports their entire life. This is like a band here. These guys, like a club. And I don't know how much they make, Trey. That's an interesting figure. And if anybody out there knows how much these officials make per game, give us a call, 646-716-5564. Also, the chat room's up running. We have, I think, 3 or 4 people in here right now. So if you have any questions out of the chat room, shout it to us. Call in if you'd like. But, Trey, the officials in this game, I'm still not getting the first point you said about the safety. What is it that makes them so special that they're going to prevent injuries?
Well, that's my question, too, Tarvin, is I don't understand how these particular officials, and that's like their big, one of their big bargaining chips, is they're saying it's a safety of the game issue to have officials getting locked out and, you know, these scab officials coming on. I just don't see how the game is going to get out of hand because, you know, these other guys come in. And this doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, yeah, you may have more missed calls because they're not as, you know, smooth at their profession, but I don't think that's going to be – I think guys are going to be getting hurt because of that.
Well, that's a good topic you brought up, though, with the officials. And I do want to look into that more and actually follow it and get more insight into it. But thanks for bringing that up. You know, the one thing on everybody's mind right now, and, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times on this show in detail, but today I wake up and Joe Paterno's statue has been taken down, removed from Penn State, Trey. Do you think this is a smart move on Penn State's part, or do you think it's kind of a little too late almost?
I mean, I think it's a good move for Penn State to do. I mean, it would have been nice if it was quicker, for sure. But obviously, with what came out of that report, and what gets me, and I've been reading a lot of, I guess, Penn State chatter, not on a couple of different message forums, and just hearing what they have to say, because they're very vocal, at least all the Penn State fans, when it comes to their own chat rooms. But I don't see a lot of Penn State fans coming out to the rest of us really defending anything. But what they're saying is they're criticizing the free report, talking about all these, you know, inferences that he made and how, you know, this guy had a dirty past or whatever this stuff is when he was at the FBI. And I kept thinking to myself, Tarvin, when I was listening to all this just banter from Penn State fans, is you guys, Penn State, asked for this guy to come in and do a thorough investigation, and he gave you a 200-plus page investigation. And it's like if they want Joe Pa on tape, you know, saying exactly what you think, and that's just the most ridiculous thing. And they're like, oh, well, there's no way Joe Pa knew, and you see all that on the chat room. It's like, dude, like, Joe Pa was running that school's athletic program. I mean, he was the guy for a number of years. No one jumped without Joe Pa saying, how high? You know, I mean, like, you know, I want you to jump this high, and they jumped. So it kind of makes me very angry that the way some of the Penn State guys are coming at this and now, you know, criticizing the report they asked for and saying how inaccurate it was and almost painting Joe Paterno as some figurehead who didn't know anything about what was going on at the university, which is entirely untrue and just entirely lacks perspective of what we all know. Joe Pa controlled that university. So it's good the statue came down, Tarvin. Because, I mean, he obviously did wrong. He didn't act when he knew of things that were going on, and that's what gets me.
And the thing I would love to see, I mean, if I wish Joe Pa was alive so he could defend himself to say, you know, this is, okay, these emails came out, I knew this, they're saying I knew about this and covered it up. I would like to hear his response to it, but that's never going to happen now. So all they have to go by is the emails. Emails never go away, Trey. They're there. And whether you read them the right way or wrong way, misinterpret them, it doesn't matter. They're there in writing. And when you read those emails, what they're saying, it's terrible. I mean, he knew all about it. Like you said, Joe Pa, he ran the university. He didn't just run the athletic department. He ran everything there. And to tell me he didn't know what was going on, especially with a longtime best friend, Sandusky, you got to be lying. I mean, it's just crazy. And now I heard Penn State fans were chanting today, we are Penn State. We are Penn State.
Yeah.
But what do you think made this happen today? Do you think it's the NCAA's ruling tomorrow? You think they were trying to find favor with the NCAA by doing this?
I think that's part of it. I think, I mean, honestly, you have, I mean, some of the leadership there now, Tarvin, I really do give credit for. I mean, they're the ones who brought in this huge internal investigation. I mean, that wasn't something that had to happen. I mean, they could have just fought that. They could have fought it even further. But the Penn State, you know, the president and everyone now, at least I wouldn't say the entire trustees, but a lot of the leadership now in Tarvin seems to really want to purge what was going on and then sort of clean house. And I think that I respect those individuals at Penn State who are doing that, because there are a number of them who are really actively trying to do that. And there's obviously folks who are fighting it. But I think that's what this came out of, Tarvin, is people going, okay, this really is bad. Joe Powell was a great guy, but, you know, we can't ignore what he didn't do. We can't ignore him turning his back on this situation and brushing it aside. And obviously, I think part of it is for political reasons, which is, you know, hey, well, let's not get the death penalty. Let's try to do as much as we can. But I think some of it is, you know, doing the right thing.
Yeah, and, you know, people keep forgetting about the kids and this whole thing. And even I do sometimes when you're reading about it, whether it's fair for Penn State, whether it's fair that now they can't make money off football. But the main thing everyone needs to focus on is the kids that lives were ruined because of this cover up, because someone put football ahead of the children's well-being. And that's just that's criminal to me. That is criminal. And I know people say it's a moral dilemma, but it's criminal in my opinion, and in 99% of the world's opinion it is. You don't mess with women and kids. And to see Penn State here, Trey, you know, I think what they're trying to do is they know it's coming. They know it's going to hurt, but let's just get it. Let's rip the Band-Aid off now and let's start our healing. And that's what I think they're trying to do, removing the statue and, you know, just letting it go. So tomorrow, Emmert's coming to the stage. He's going to be laying down the law to Penn State. And there's some officials at Penn State very upset right now that some of the presidents of the other schools have allowed him to make the decision. You know, this is unprecedented. This has never happened before. So tomorrow when he comes, Trey, what do you think the outcome is going to be?
Well, I mean, I think there's enough credible news reports that are coming out. And this is the kind of situation, there's been a lot of reports that aren't very credible. And so if you're reading everything that your friend is posting on Facebook, you know, that's cited to some random website, you're probably not in the best source. But it looks like there's going to be a pretty hefty hit, but it's not going to be the death penalty. So if you're hearing death penalty, I don't think that's going to be it based on some of the insiders you're reporting out of the NCAA. But it does look like it's going to be a large fine, you know, probably some bowl postseason scholarship type stuff, probably at levels that have never been handed out before. But, you know, if you're one of the proponents of the death penalty, like I know you are, Tarvin, I'm not hearing that kind of chatter out of the really credible NCAA, you know, reporting.
Well, I think because, you know, in order to get the death penalty, one of the criteria to meet is you have to be a repeat offender. And Penn State, you know, they've never been in trouble with anything. And, again, this is not an NCAA matter in people's opinions, a lot of people's. But I really respect Emmert for coming out and going ahead and ruling on this now, because why wait till August when people are in camp? Why not just go ahead and make it now? But, Trey, what they could get, the loss of scholarship, the no TV, the bowl ban, that could be much worse than the death penalty if you think about it, because all of these kids are going to be transferring out. And I really believe that the majority of the kids at Penn State will be leaving the program.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility. And to be honest, Tarver, I think that's the right move. I think if you're going to protect those kids who are stuck in scholarships or stuck in the NCAA rules who may want to leave Penn State, I mean, you may have a sophomore or a freshman on that roster, Tarvin, who is like, holy cow, man, like, I am stuck at Penn State, and if I transfer, I'll lose a year. And so, you know, maybe, I mean, one of the things I hope comes out of this is basically a blanket on to Penn State that says any player who wants to leave Penn State in any academy, whether it's, you know, a track and field guy or a football player, there's no penalty, and you can transfer immediately to any school and you can play. I just think that they should let every kid who's on any, you know, women, men team at Penn State should be allowed to let to leave that school immediately, because I'm sure there are people who want to.
And, you know, give them another year eligibility, Trey, but do you think there's any of the any of the kids at Penn State could leave right now and actually go play for, like, a, say, an SEC team or a, actually another Big Ten school immediately, or do you think they'll have to sit out a year?
I think if it was up to me, Tarvin, it would be immediately. And that's just because I don't think you should penalize any of the people who are there, any of these kids who are playing on any of these teams. They're not the ones who have done anything wrong, and they shouldn't be the ones having to wait or, you know, go through an NCAA, you know, firing hoop of jumping here, jumping there before they can become eligible again. I mean, this is the kind of thing that, you know, as a parent, you may not want your kid to be there because it's because you don't trust the institution anymore. I mean, say Tarvin, then say you have a, you know, your daughter is a sophomore on their softball team. If I'm a father, there's no way I want her there. But say she's a really good athlete, say she's all Big Ten, and I don't want her to lose a year because, you know, they don't get to play that often. You know, there's no pro softball other than the Olympics really they can go to. You know, so I don't want her to lose a year of playing time. You know, the NCAA should be like, you know what? Any player can just go wherever they want, you know, as long as another school is going to take them. I think that, to me, would help protect the kids who are there who may want out.
And I think I know some of these recruits are talking big right now, but saying, you know, we're all Penn State, but I know one guy decommitted today, but what about their quarterback prospect, Christian Hackenberg? He's one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Do you think this guy's going to land in Penn State after this comes out tomorrow, or do you think he's going to look other places?
Well, I mean, the thing about Penn State and that one of the reasons why they're probably going to rebound off this relatively quickly is, you know, up in Pennsylvania, they do have a very, very strong pull to a lot of communities, you know, and this isn't going to deter some of those people from wanting to rebuild basically off the ashes that is Penn State now. So I think some of these people are going to be very loyal. Some of these kids are going to want to stay. And that's fine, Tarvin. I mean, again, these kids there's no reason why they shouldn't go to Penn State if their parents are okay with it and that's what they want to do. But, you know, to me, it's about protecting those who maybe be there and they want to leave. And to me, then, you know, these other recruits, who knows, Tarvin, man, who knows what their level of commitment is and how much, you know, the university actually means to them.
And, I don't know how much, you know, if I'm a kid coming out of high school and I'm really good and I can go anywhere I wanted to, I'm not going to choose a school that, A, I'm not going to be on TV, B, I'm not going to be in a bowl, and C, I'm going to have a reduction in scholarships each season. I mean, that's the death penalty if you ask me. I remember when Auburn went through that on 93 where they got hit with sanctions and they missed TV for a year. That sucked, and that really hurt them. And I mean, it's a bad thing. So you're looking at a kid that's about to make the biggest decision of his life. I mean, do you think he's going to go 4 years to a school that's never going to be able to play? Because at the end of the day, your major goal as a player, Trey, is to win a championship, to be able to compete and play for a championship. If you can't do that at Penn State anymore, then, I mean, why are you going to go? Besides the leaders of the school, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's about it. I mean, I think either you believe, you know, like something strong, like your parents went there and you want to follow in their footsteps no matter what. I mean, obviously there's personal reasons why you might. But, yeah, you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of kids who are going there just because Penn State was a big-time football tradition and who are going to have to think otherwise. As soon as Monday's penalties come out, they're going to be like, wow, you know, do I not want to play on TV for 4 years or am I going to have a scholarship anymore because, you know, we just lost, you know, 20 scholarships for next year, whatever it is.
Yeah, and Jason in Oregon says, shut it down on the chat room. He's saying to shut this program down, and I really have to agree with him. I know it's not going to happen, but that's what I would do after looking at everything. I mean, there's no way they play football in September if I'm the commissioner, if I'm over the NCAA, or heck, if I'm over the Big Ten, they're not playing. So that's another thing, Trey. Why hasn't the Big Ten commissioners stepped in on this, really?
Well, they have been relatively quiet. I mean, haven't they? Isn't that really interesting, Tarvin? I mean, you bring up a good point. What has the Big Ten actually said anything about this? They've been really quiet, which is a little strange, isn't it?
It is very strange that, and I could see SEC commissioner, Big 12 commissioner, anybody would come up and I know Sly would. I know he would. He would come out and say something about this because he came out and spoke when Cam Newton thing went on. But this is the biggest scandal of all time. and we don't hear a peep. But, Trey, I want to ask you this question and the fans out there. Nobody's talking about this, but the head coach O'Brien, you know, he came from New England Patriots. Now, I just wonder if he's going to want to stay now, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this guy was obviously a very, it wasn't like this was his only offer, Tarvin. So, yeah, what's he going to want to do? I mean, is he going to want to be the guy who stays and tries to bring this program back? Or is he going to be like, whoa, I did not sign up for this stuff?
And I don't think he wants to be in that. I mean, it's good to be in the media sometimes. You get your name out there, but to be at Penn State right now and the eyes to be on you to say, wow, I wouldn't want to – why would you want to coach there? And then all of a sudden he wants to leave. It's too late almost. He's almost damaged good. So I think if he's going to leave, now's the time for him to say, look, I came and took over this program when Joe Pa, was leaving, but now that all of this has happened and it's come out, now he can leave. And he has every right to leave, Trey. There's nothing – I wouldn't feel bad about him, look down upon him if he left, because after all this information come out, I know I wouldn't want to coach there.
You know, and the sort of the sad part about this is that, Penn State, their name is tarnished for a generation. I mean, it'll probably be our kids before, they forget about this huge scandal at Penn State. And this was one of the only two national champions who had never been basically sanctioned by the NCAA. I mean, this was a clean program for so many years. I mean, you're talking about no violations of any kind, but to have such a huge, huge thing ongoing in this university really sort of shakes the pillars of NCAA football all around, because if it can happen at Penn State, which had no tradition of any kind of violations, I mean, it can happen anywhere, Tarvin.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, really, honestly, the way they covered this up for so long, I wonder what other skeletons are in that closet, because, I mean, just because you look at Joe Paterno and you think honesty before, that doesn't mean anything now. I would be interested to see how many violations they did have. If you go back and look at their recruiting and, I see out of this, Trey, and all the listeners out there, and this has always been my gut feeling, that there's been money changing hands for the sex with these kids. I mean, that's sick, but I'm telling you, once all this comes back out, you're going to see that there was money. This was a big system for them. This is terrible. Do you feel that way at all, Trey? There's more going on than what they're saying?
No, I mean, I feel like this has been broken open pretty well. I mean, do I think that there were probably more people who knew of something directly? Yeah, I think some folks in that university probably knew exactly what was going on or had a good idea. So I think that's about the only thing that I think, maybe more names getting dropped. I don't know if there's I think we've kind of blown most of the scandal wide open in that regard. I mean, having the FBI and go through everything and every computer, in the school is kind of hard to cover up a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. I've always thought of Joe Paterno as a positive person, a role model for kids. And for this to come out, man, I just wish he was still around so I could hear him answer these questions, like I said earlier. But how long do you think you're going to see his family keep coming out in the media and saying things?
Yeah. What's really unfortunate, Irvin, is had Joe Pa still been around, I really do wonder how he would have handled this, given how poorly he handled leaving the university to begin with. I mean, he did not agree with getting fired. He didn't agree with anything that was going on. So I kind of think, and maybe folks disagree with me, but based on what I saw through him in the media during the very brief period of time where we have to, see what Joe Pa was saying about at least, some of the stuff before it all broke wide open, is he would be just as defiant as his son is. And his son is, some of the things that he's saying just infuriates me at the just lack of responsibility to anything other than their family. Just to me, it's just it makes me angry, Tarvin. It really does. I don't know how else to describe it. Their sort of attitude toward this whole thing.
Yeah, you're right. And Jimmy in the chat room wants to know, what do you think the NCAA is going to hand down to Penn State tomorrow? And Jimmy, we just discussed that just a few minutes ago, and you know, we think it's going to be some serious bowl bans, scholarship reductions, TV time lost. Just to recap what we said earlier, I mean, it's going to be bad. And I think it, once all the recruits leave, the current players leave, I think it's going to be just like the death penalty, but without actually saying the word death penalty to them, or the words, excuse me. And Trey, do you agree with that? It's going to be worse than the death penalty once all this happens?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be worse. I think for anything as big as Penn State, national champion team, I think if they had to shut the doors down, I don't think anything would be worse than that. I think this is going to have a long-term effect, which is obviously you know, going to be an impact. I think it will be a very strong impact, is what at least I'm hoping and hearing. But, you know, Tarvin, one of the other things that I wanted to mention was, you know, some people have said, well, you know, this is, you know, there's no precedent for this. And that's obvious. The NCAA has never had this happen before. But it's not as if there aren't, I mean, you know, some NCAA violations. I mean, yeah, they're all under the ethics rules. But, I mean, what really gets me about this whole thing is the whole argument about the Clery Act. I mean, Penn State was put on notice almost 10 years ago about, you know, hey, you need to come in compliance and create rules to comply with the Clery Act. And now we see exactly why they didn't, because they were covering up Sandusky. So, to me, this is well within Emmert's role. And my question to everyone is, if Emmert hadn't come down, and if he doesn't come down hard tomorrow, what's the incentive for any school coming forward ever again on anything like this? I mean, this punishment has to be so severe that there can never be this situation ever happen again, because the next time, you know, it'll be worse. You know, you'll lose everything. And so the message has to be from the NCAA is, football is second. You know, you're complying with basic human dignity, and obviously, you know, criminal rules and responsibilities is primary to these kids. And, you know, football is second. You know, universities, you're on notice.
And Trey, Jimmy in the chat room said this had to be the worst case of lack of institutional control in history. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I can't imagine, Tarvin, anything being worse. And I mean, we can banter about recruiting violations and paying players. You know, the fact of the matter is that's rampant through college football. This better not be anywhere else. I mean, that's just the bottom line. There was no institutional control, because they let this go. And if you have any inclination to this kind of thing that's going on, Tarvin, you got to come down with a hammer if you're in a university. Your job is to educate and protect, you know, basically young minds, and they didn't do that.
I agree, and 100% on what you said. This is the worst I've ever seen. This beats SMU, Miami, Ohio State, Auburn, any team, Alabama, that's ever been on probation. I mean, there's nothing like this. But we're going to get off Penn State for a moment, and here's another comment from Jimmy. I hate it for the players, but an example has to be made, and you're exactly right on that. This is not about the players. This is not about the university. This is about the kids that have suffered for all of these years and the cover-up. So, and I mean, there's so many more, Trey, that's probably been hurt by this that just won't come out, that we just don't know about yet, but hopefully one day we will. Just a sad, sad day in college football when all of this broke, and tomorrow is going to be a big day with everyone in the sports world watching this. So I'm sure Wednesday night we're going to touch on this subject again with the results of the NCAA, but I'm hated if you're a Penn State fan right now. It's going to be bad tomorrow.
Yeah, Tarvin, just before we leave Penn State, I'd like to hear from a lifelong Penn State fan on this. Once this comes out, if you're a Penn State fan and you happen to check us out, you know, whether it's disagreeing with us or whatever, I mean, the point of our show is to get all, you know, all perspectives, whether we disagree or agree with it or not. You know, we're not going to come out and bash you, but I really would like to hear the other side of this argument, because I do feel like I'm, you know, past the point of being able to see it. So if you're a Penn State fan, you know, we're not going to tear you down, we're not going to let people call you names, but if you would, just, I'd love to hear your reaction to what happens on Monday if you're listening.
And I go back, if I'm an Auburn fan, Trey, and if this happened at Auburn, you know, and this went down, you know, I would still cheer for Auburn every time that they played football, you know, the new kids come in. So I think we judge Penn State fans in a bad light right now, and I don't think we should. It's not their fault, you know, that all of this happened, but it is the university's fault, and casualties of war happen, and innocent people are affected, just like the kids. They were innocent, and they were taken advantage of and mistreated for all of those years. But Wednesday night at our show at 9 Eastern, we will cover more of this, especially what the NCAA found. But, Trey, this has been on my mind for a few days, and I hope some people give me some feedback on this. But some people took it negative when I said it earlier about Miami, you know, the Hurricanes of Miami and all of the probation they've been on. And I know there's other teams that's been worse, Trey. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But to sit here and look at Al Golden that came in last year, the golden boy from Temple, that came in and preached he was going to fix this, he's going to fix it, that's all he kept saying. When he got off the plane, he's involved with Sean Allen. He was involved with the Ponzi schemer guy Shapiro, and he's illegally recruiting. What do you think about this, man?
Well, you know, what's come out of this is really come out of a 2011 deposition during this bankruptcy case for Shapiro. A bunch of phone records got turned over, and that's how the NCAA has sort of gotten into this. I know they recently went down to Miami and did an investigation, but really, you know, I'm not sure how much it relates back to Golden personally, or if this was sort of a remnant of the previous, you know, sort of, corruption they had down at Miami. And, you know, as much as I do, I can't stand Miami. I pretty much hate them. And one of the things that I saw that came out of this, Tarvin, was in the phone records, it shows that one of Allen's assistants, Barrow, was calling Devontae Freeman, who, if you know anything about Florida State, was a running back commitment we had. And they were basically calling him the day he was scheduled to begin classes at Florida State for early enrollment, convincing him to switch. And, you know, if that obviously is super dirty, and that's obviously against the NCAA rules. But that's the kind of thing going on at Miami. One, I'm not surprised, given how many recruits flip from Florida State to Miami. Maybe that's why, Tarvin. Maybe that's why.
But, I mean, and when I think of Miami, and this is not to bash anybody out there. This is just a free talking radio show where we give our opinions. I've always thought of Miami as a dirty program with the players they've recruited in. The crap that's gone down there. I mean, this is probably, honestly, SMU's Saints compared to this program, in my opinion. And it's just, I mean, you have the boats and hose thing going on in Miami. You have the abortion. You have the telephone. I think there was a telephone scam going on there. And they were buying shoes illegally. And they were, what was it, selling textbooks, or was that Alabama? I can't remember. I think it was Alabama.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
But I mean, it's just like some. I guess what it is, and I think the reason I think about this, Trey, is because back in the days with Urban and Warren Sapp, I mean, these guys played with a big chip on their shoulder and an attitude, and that's probably where some of it comes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think with some of the things that went down in South Beach, and I think a lot of people have the same view as I do, Trey.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tarvin, and the interesting thing that you mentioned about Golden. And the other big thing that's come out of this was Anthony Chicolo, who was one of the big recruits that Golden had off the bat, was them basically, I guess, the allegation is that an equipment manager arranged for him to have basically some privileges at a gentleman's club down in Coral Gables. And he was the highest-rated recruit in Golden's 2011 class. So, you know, what – if Golden came in, and this is starting off with under his watch, I mean, either one, he's not quite under control of the program, which, to be honest, Tarvin, could be. I mean, one of the problems that Miami has always had is, and why I guess, you know, why you and I have always looked at them a little bit dirty, is they have booster problems. I mean, they got, you know, people coming out of the woodworks trying to basically, you know, help the university. And you know, folks in the SEC understand this problem as well. You know, it's hard to have control of them. You know, but one of the things that if you're Al Golden, you know, and you're coming in with this authoritative, I'm cleaning the house, I mean, if he didn't directly know about this, Tarvin, he certainly didn't have a very good grasp on it. And, you know, so we'll see what happens with this because, you know, Miami's already on probation, so.
Well, and I'm going to make a prediction on this show, and y'all can write it down out there. And if you disagree or agree, call 646-716-5564. Al Golden did know about this. His staff knew about it. They were illegally recruiting, coming in already on probation. It's going to make Penn State look like a day at the park if this is true, man. Even though Penn State's a lot worse than what they did, trust me. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the NCAA has had enough of Miami and their shenanigans. And, you know, I just get tired of seeing it with these boosters. And it can happen anywhere, and it does happen everywhere, Trey.
Yeah.
That some Joe Blow comes out with a lot of money. He's tired of Alabama beating Auburn, or he's tired of Texas beating Oklahoma, and they're going to come out of pocket and make sure that they take care of business on the recruiting trails. And it can happen without the head coach knowing. You know as well as I do that
Absolutely.
Some of the head coaches don't know anything out there, and these guys come out and do it. Do you think that the NCAA should hammer programs when the coaches or none of the staff knew anything about it?
Well, I mean, that's a very tough question. I mean, I think if there's no connection to anywhere at the university, I have a tough time penalizing a university. I mean, you can't control every person who puts on a Miami Hurricane, you know, jersey on a Saturday and you know, pledges allegiance to that team. However, if that is a booster, you know, who's part of an official booster club, well, then there's your nexus, you know, to the university. And, you know, the university has total control over their booster clubs. I mean, if they're going to control those clubs at all, allow them to operate on campus, have official events, hold, you know, dinners for recruit, whatever it is. I mean, if that's the nexus, then yeah, I think the NCAA has every right to step in. And if it's a total, you know, guy off in the zone, then I don't think that's right. But, you know, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you go ahead, Trey. My bad.
No, I was just going to say the problem with Miami and the problem with the NCAA right now, Tarvin, is basically the last 2 years, there's been more programs hit with major violations than pretty much in a long time. And so the problem hasn't gotten better in the NCAA. It's just that people gotten better about hiding it. So the NCAA is going to have a tough time right now not losing control basically of these programs because, I mean, how many programs are on probation right now? Miami, North Carolina, I mean, Ohio State, Boise State. I mean, you have a lot of huge programs right now that have been hit with major sanctions recently. So, I mean, if this comes out and Miami's already on probation, then I think the NCAA is going to hit them with a big stick, Darvin. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near Penn State, but it's going to be big for Miami. I mean, so they're going to cripple them probably with scholarships and TV bans or stuff like that.
And I think the NCAA needs to do a better job, and maybe they are, maybe they're improving it, of educating these high school kids before they come out. I mean, just really driving it home, and the coaches drive it home with them, saying, hey, you know, these boosters are going to come at you sometime, these agents, street agents. So put something in place to where these kids are educated, because a lot of these kids come from the inner city or, you know, they don't have a lot of money. All of a sudden somebody throws $1,000 at them, they're going to take it. And I know I would. I mean, there's no doubt. I'm a good person. I would take $1,000 if I was in desperate need of money. I'd take it now.
Yeah, if you're interested in giving away in sports $1,000, that number is?
Yeah, 646-716-5564. No checks, money orders, and cash, please. That's all.
Yes, exactly. Make it out of my middle name, Cash.
Yeah. And there's going to be a lot coming out of this, guys. And this is and you know what? And I think with a lot of the resources going into a couple of these larger schools that there's some more. I'm hearing some whispers about some other schools that are next in line to be investigated. And I'm not going to name any names right now because it's just hearsay. But it's from good sources. So there's going to be several other schools, Trey, it could be with major sanctions, and a couple of them are in the SEC. And you know, I hate to say that, but it's going to happen probably. And, I mean, you can go into any program and dig, and you're going to find something. I mean, you're going to find something. And I'm surprised when they came in for Cam Newton, Trey, a couple of years ago, they found zero. They said at that time they said Auburn ran the cleanest program. I don't know if I believe that or not, but said it was the cleanest they've seen in a long time. But maybe it's because they're good cleaners, you know? You never know.
Well, you know, the SEC's had the most problems with sanctions as it is. I mean, so, you know, you know, however you want to look at that, I mean, you can be conspiracy theory and say, well, they're obviously cheating the most. But the problem that really boils down to, and to be honest, I mean, so what hurts your argument there is just because the SEC's had the most. I mean, the biggest program has been on probation the most is Arizona State, and they're out in the Pac-12. So, I mean, nobody ever hears about that because they're not very good in football. But they get, you know, they get hit all the time because of their baseball stuff. I mean, it's more baseball of them than it is football. But so, I mean, it's not like this is just football. It's not like this is just the SEC. I mean, the Big Ten is right behind the SEC with 12 major sanctions. You know, the SEC has 13. So, I mean, this is a all out the NCAA problem and how they're going to control it. And I, Tarvani, you kind of hit this when we were talking, I think, one of the past shows, was that the TV revenue is probably the biggest impact in the way to control this. I mean, that if they really want to start hitting these programs, I mean, stop letting them play on TV. Because I think that's probably one of the biggest revenue for some of these conferences and teams. And if you start hitting them right there, you're going to hit them pretty hard in the wallet. And I think there'll be a lot of incentive to start cleaning these things up. And that goes for, you know, Florida State, Auburn, whatever program.
Yeah, I remember, like I said, in 93, Auburn went undefeated that season. I had to listen to 90% of the games on the radio, but I did get to go to one. But you know how bad it sucks to turn on AM radio and listen to your team on Saturday? It's bad. So that's the worst way you can hurt a team besides, you know, scholarships are big, but you take them off TV, man, that's killer. I don't think any team's ever had that since then. But I think Penn State's about to get it because they don't want to remind these people of, you know, what's been going on and what's happened. Every time they turn on the TV, they see Penn State. So I hope they do that, do away with the TV for a year or two just to prove a message, send a message. But, you know, staying in college football, Trey, we promised tonight to break down Ohio State and their own probation, not being able to go to a bowl this season. And we're going to break down a team that I can't stand, Clemson Tigers. So, but I'm going to give them their – I'm going to give them their due, and I'm going to talk, you know, just like I would about any team, and I'm going to be honest about them, so it won't be biased opinion.
Well, at least one game is going to be biased, Darwin.
Well, that's a lock. Auburn beats them, baby. I've got it. All right, let's start out with Ohio State. You know, let's start out in the Big Ten since we've been there tonight already. Ohio State, Urban Meyer, the new coach to the Big Ten. Trey, do you think this is a good fit, Urban Meyer going up to the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, Urban Meyer is a legit coach. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's going to be very successful up there. It'll be interesting to see, I mean, how – and this is a kind of a test, I think, for the NCAA is how well Ohio State sort of manages with their being on probation because if they don't have any sort of – you know, they just roll right through this. I mean, I think you're going to see maybe the NCAA's sanctions aren't good enough because Ohio State so far hasn't seemed like they've hit too much of a bump in the road because of it. I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, but the only thing is Ohio State can't play in that championship game and they can't make any kind of postseason, which how do you really motivate your team? I mean, do you come out with a lot more pressure, I guess, right? You come out with no pressure and something, a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at how USC handled it, and they handled it pretty well. I mean, and now all of a sudden look at the team they have ready to go this year, and they're going to be – the national championship contention, and they just despite coming off their ban. So, you know, I think a very similar situation could happen at Ohio State.
Yeah, but USC, though, I mean, that school recruits itself. I think Ohio State's very good, too, in that. But Southern Cal is one of those schools that they just have all the resources. It's like a party city. You have professional teams everywhere. You have famous people. I just think Southern Cal is going to be hurt with their depth now. They have talent, you know, to beat anyone, their first string's good, but they're going to suffer with depth, and I think you're going to see Ohio State suffer with that too.
Yeah, you could be right. So, Tarver, let's start it down. I'll start off with the schedule for Ohio State with you. So, with their first four, I guess that's through September 22nd. They're got Miami of Ohio at home. They got the Central Florida Knights at Ohio Stadium as well the next week. Then they have the Cal Bears at home, and then UAB at home. So four home games, four out of conference. What do you think, Carmen?
Well, I think UAB is going to give them all they want for about 3 minutes. And looking at that schedule, looking at that schedule, I see no reason but to say 4-0.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tarvin. I think Cal will play well in the first half of that game, but that's about it. So I think we both have them at 4-0, Tarvin. So let's look at their next four. They got Sparty. Sparty in East Lansing, their first road game of the year. Then they come back home, and they got Nebraska coming in. And they're on the road at Indiana, and they come back home against Purdue. What do you think about those four?
I see them 4-0 right there.
4-0. I think they're going to lose one of those games, Tarvin. I think either Nebraska's going to get them at home, which would be a tough loss for Ohio State at home, or they're going to lose to Sparty on the road. I think it's Nebraska, though. I think they're going to beat Sparty. They're going to be pretty revved for that game. I think Nebraska may get them in a close game at home. May get them.
That's a good pick. If I was going to pick one game out of those four to lose, Nebraska definitely. But I just think being at home with a great quarterback play, I think Ohio State's quarterback play will be a little better. And plus the home field advantage. I'm going to say 8-0. You're saying 7-1.
Yep. All right. So all right. They got so let's look at their last four here, Tarvin. They're at Penn State. That's if they play. We'll assume that Penn State's going to have a team. At Penn State. And they're again at home against Illinois. And they're at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin in November. And then they got the Wolverines at home, Michigan. What do you think about those four? Probably their toughest four.
Well, I think they lose to Wisconsin. I think that going to Camp Randall is going to be tough. I do think they beat Michigan, though. And I think they end the season 11-1, 10-2, but I'm going to say 11-1 with no postseason play.
And that's about right, Tarvin. I think they'll beat Penn State and Illinois. I do think they lose at Wisconsin as well. I'm trying to remember if I picked – I think I picked – when we picked Michigan's schedule, I'm trying to stay consistent. I think I picked Ohio State in that game. So I got them losing to Wisconsin and Nebraska. So I got them at 10-2. Watching the home on TV.
Yep. It's going to be the Michigan game. I just still think Ohio State's superior, even with the probation. I think the depth's going to start hurting Ohio State after this season once it keeps going. But, you have 9 starters back on defense, 7 on offense. But Braxton Miller got through to the fire last year, man, as a freshman. He threw 13 touchdowns, 4 picks. I mean, he can run the ball as well. He had 715 yards and 7 touchdowns. So I think Ohio State's going to struggle at receiver a little bit and the offensive line. But other than that, I mean, I'd look at the schedule, and I wish I could play that schedule.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Ohio State this year is the home schedule. I mean, they don't really have an out-of-conference game that really worries you, and they have them all at home anyway. So, I mean – having Michigan and Nebraska at home, their only game on the road to worry about is Michigan State and Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's going to be their big one. So, yeah, I think they're going to – I mean, this is going to be a big year for them, especially being on probation. If they win 10 games, I mean, that's going to be one of those things to draw on recruits for next year for sure.
And Jason in the chat room says he has a 9-3. They're losing to Nebraska, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That's reasonable, 9-3 is still a good season.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll lose all three, but you never know. So Urban Meyer's going to see what he's got. I think this is a great year for him to come in a way. I mean, the schedule's easy. I think they'll do well. So let's move on, Trey. Do you want to walk us through Clemson?
Yeah. Let's look at Clemson. Let's look at their first four, Tarvin. I mean, this is about as opposite of a 4 games you can get. They got Auburn at the George Dome, their opening game, which you all know about. Then they have Memorial Stadium. They got 2 home games against Ball State and the Furman Paladins. Tell me if you didn't know that Furman was the Paladins.
I knew Trey because we played them a couple of years ago.
They're on your schedule a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'll admit that one. And then they're at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee, Florida on September the 22nd. So where do you have them, Tarvin, first four?
Well, I think they're going to lose to Auburn, and I think they're going to win the next 2, and I think they're going to lose at Florida State, start out 2-2.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Tarvin. I think Auburn's going to get them that first game. I think it's going to be a really close game, by the way. I think it's going to be probably a field goal win for Auburn. Then I got Ball State and Furman, no big issues there. And I think I'm going to pick my Seminoles at home. So I'll 2-2 as well.
Florida State's loaded this season.
We better be. It's about time. All right, Tyron, let's see. We got the next four at Boston College. And they got the Rambling Wreck of Georgia Tech. They're at home for that game, though. They got an open date there, and then they have the Hokies coming to town. And then they're at Wake Forest.
Well, if I know Clemson, you know, they lost their two games already. If I'm looking at a game that could give them trouble, of course, Virginia Tech, but I'm going to have them winning all four, all of those right there.
Wow, that's an interesting pick there, Tarvin. I got them winning at Boston College for sure, and Boston College is going to have a tough year. Georgia Tech, I just don't know what to expect out of them this year, so I'm going to go ahead and pick Clemson over them. The open date going and coming back home against Virginia Tech, I do think you're right on that one, Tyron. I think that's going to be the key for them winning that game. Again, that game could go either way, but then I have them beating the Demon Deacons as well. So I'm going to agree with you, Tarvin, 4-0. So that puts both of us at 6-2. Who thought we'd agree on that one, Tarvin? I didn't.
I know. We're right on tonight.
All right. So the next four, they're at the Duke Blue Devils. That's going to be a tough one. And they come home against the Maryland Terrapins. We'll see what kind of uniform they're wearing this year. Then they got the NC State Wolfpack at home, and then they're at home against South Carolina.
I have them winning all of those games except South Carolina. It just seems like Spurrier has their number.
Absolutely. And, yeah, you know, I picked South Carolina to go 11-1, so I had them getting past that game. So I think they lose two games. I think they're going to be 10-2 as well. So I think we both agree on Clemson having a pretty good year this year.
So my question to you and the fans, is this good enough to win the ACC?
Well, I don't think it's going to be good enough to win the ACC. I think it's going to be good enough for them to basically have – they're going to be close. I guess let me put it this way, Tarvin. They're going to be right there in the championship game talk at the very end because, I mean, it's going to come down basically to that Virginia Tech game, I think, to whether or not they're going to have a shot at the ACC title game. I mean, if they win that game, then they're going to have, you know, depending on how Florida State plays, they're going to have a shot at that title game. But I think they're not going to have a shot at the title game because of the Florida State loss. They're in the same division. And because of the second loss that we both picked them to. So I think they're not going to be in the ACC title game and not going to be up for the championship.
Well, the thing about Florida State and Clemson, you know, you talk about, you know, sometimes they lay an egg against the Boston Colleges and Georgia Techs of the world. So, and Wake Forest, there's a game in there somewhere that could easily flip up and bite Clemson, you know. So I'm looking at Florida State, and still people are talking about Clemson, you know, they're powerful. But I still think Florida State wins the ACC this season. I think Clemson will make a decent bowl game. But, again, Clemson's going to lose three or four ball games, and that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, last year they went 7-2 and, you know, obviously made the ACC championship game, as that's, of course, our conference. So, I mean, I think with two losses, you're going to have a shot in the ACC to be in the ACC championship game, which is unfortunate for the ACC that, you know, that both Coastal and Atlantic champions could have two losses, so which is what happened last year. But I think this year maybe a one-loss conference loss team is going to get in there. So I think, you know, but with two losses, Tarvin, you're right. I mean, even in two conference losses are going to get you a shot at the title game there.
Yeah. Jason in the chat room has them 8-4, losing to Auburn and Florida State, Georgia Tech and South Carolina. So he has Georgia Tech sneaking up. Paul Rose with that option.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trey, we have a caller in queue. I'm going to go ahead and go to the lines. You're on Way in Sports. Who's this?
Hey, this is Quinn.
Hey, Quinn. How's it going,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, man. It's going good. I think you guys hit it on with Ohio State, but with Clemson, I see them losing to Auburn, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and South Carolina.
That's good. I mean, I can see that Virginia Tech coming in there and beating them. I can really see that.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia Tech could be really good this year. I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be, but they're definitely going to be up there in the ACC conversation for the championship at the end of the year.
Well, they always seem to be consistent, even when they lose their seniors, they always seem to be able to regroup and field a good team.
Yeah, there's something about Clemson, though. It's like at the end of the season last year, Trey, what did they lose? Like 4 out of their last 5 games, something around that?
They ended up losing 4. They had 2 losses going into the championship game. They lost the championship game and then lost their bowl game as well.
Yeah, they lost their bowl game. They got killed. It was like, I think it was late. They gave up 70 points. And you know, one thing about Clemson, Quinn and Trey, and people aren't looking at this, they have great skill players, don't get me wrong. But in the kind of offense these guys run, kind of like Auburn's last year, exactly like Auburn's last year and the year before, their offensive line is depleted. And I don't care what kind of skill players you have, with that kind of finesse offense in a way, it's going to be very hard to keep these guys out of the backfield from stopping these plays before they start. Trey, what do you think?
I think that's going to be there. And then, you know, Clint, you have a good point about the 4 games. I mean, that's the 4 to watch because of D-lines. I mean, Florida State's D-line is one of the best in the country. It's one of the things that we don't struggle with. Auburn's got a pretty good D-line. I mean, Virginia Tech always is good defensively. And, you know, so those are 3 teams that are going to really give them fits in that regard.
And
of course,
and South Carolina. I mean, they have the best
that's what
of
I was getting at.
Problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, we know how good South Carolina's D-linemen are just because – they're up there in the national consideration. So, you know, those are the 4 teams that are going to give them real problems in the O-line.
That's a great point, Trey. Quinn, what else you got for us tonight?
Oh, I just wanted to call in on that. And I think you guys hit on about Ohio State, about I see them losing to Wisconsin and Michigan State.
Okay, Sparty on the road and Wisconsin on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Trey's old stomping ground is Michigan State. He went to college there. Right, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, old Sparty, unfortunately, isn't the most hostile environment for but it's a good time. And I think Clint's right. I mean, I think if Ohio State struggles this year, it's going to be in their road games because they have so many home games, and they're going to be so confident there. But on the road, that's where they're going to have some of those shakes and jitters come out. So those are the ones that really are going to be the ones that they may lose.
Hey, Quinn,
yeah,
and
that's
Trey,
generous. That's generous of me, too, because I don't like Ohio State at all.
Yeah, I can't stand them. But, hey, guys, why is Clemson, do you think, recruiting all these top-notch players? How are they getting them on board? I'll start with you, Quinn.
I don't know. They probably just like the atmosphere over there, and they probably like the coach.
Yeah, Trey, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Clemson's always had an ability to get some pretty good players. I mean, they've had some pretty big names throughout the years. Problem is they can't seem to get them all on the same time. You know, they have, you know, one good player who's there, and then he leaves, and another really awesome first-round draft pick comes up. You know, but I think so. What Clemson's got going on is they're sort of on the precipice of being a really, really, really strong team. They've been on that bubble for many years, and they're up and down, up and down. I mean, you know, back when the other Bowden was there, they had a number of teams that were really, really competitive nationally, but they never could get over that, you know, that hump to be really a top 5 team. So I think they're able to draw on recruits in that way because they always seem to be just about ready to hit that point where they can maybe be a national contender. So I think they're drawing in teams that way, and their facilities are getting better. Their program is actually putting a lot of money into their college football team, so that's another thing they have going on as well, Harvard.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, I appreciate the call, bud.
Yep.
All right, and Wednesday night we have a show at 9 Eastern. Give us a call.
I will.
All right, see you, man.
Bye.
And Trey, what do you think about the big receiver out there for Clemson, not being Sammy Watkins, possibly not even getting suspended at all for what he did.
Yeah, that's one of the X factors that Clemson's got this year is Sammy Watkins going to, you know, what's going to happen with him? Because, I mean, he's such a strong player. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he is a game changer for him. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, I think no matter what happens, we'll be back for a Florida State game. But obviously for the Auburn game, that's going to be a true key to how well their offense is going to run earlier in the year.
I totally agree. And let's touch on a little baseball right quick before we go. What do you think?
What do you got?
Well, I mean, the Dodgers just swept the Mets, the climb just a game and a half out of the cellar. So what are you thinking about the Dodgers now? I know we talked kind of bad about them after right around the All-Star break, but, I mean, obviously you sweep the Mets, you got something going on. I know Santana's struggling real bad, or he has struggled. So what do you think about the Dodgers? You think they're going to come back?
I think the Dodgers, you know, picturing to win the division, I still think they're going to pull it out. I mean, they have a lot of talent in the rotation. I mean, they've had a number of bad things happen to them this year with Ethier and Kemp, and then Billingsley going out. But you know, the Dodgers are sort of, they seem to have some sort of magic to them this year a little bit. You know, when Matt Kemp's back and he's crushing the ball. But you know, what's more impressive to me, Tarvin, is the Oakland Athletics just swept a four-game series from the Yanks. What about the Oakland A's? They're tied for the wild card league, Tarvin.
I mean, this is one of those teams that just make me scratch my head that I thought would die out. But, I mean, you sweep the Yankees? I mean, that's something. You're 51-44, seven games over .500. That's remarkable considering what they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, they're a really, really young team, so I'm not sure how long this is going to last. I mean, I heard one commentator say that, you know, a young team can get real hot, but they can get real cold. So that's a very good point for, you know, anybody who's been in a baseball team, and, you know, you can get real hot and real cold, especially if you have a lot of young kids who are going to be streaky. So we'll see if they can actually maintain it, Tarvin. I don't think the Athletics are going to be around when it comes time to postseason time, though. I think they're going to fade out.
Well, you see the Detroit Tigers taking over first place.
Yeah, I think that's for good. Yeah.
Yeah, a game and a half, and we know, I mean, a lot of people know that their second-half team, you have Verlander is going to get nothing but better, nastier, Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera, these guys, all they do is hit, like, ungodly amount of home runs during this time. But, you know, you look at the Rangers right now, they're six games up on the Angels. I just don't see anybody catching them in that division. I mean, even Oakland, the Angels, no way. You know, I just think the Rangers are in a class of their own right now.
Yeah, I think the Angels are gonna pull up a little closer, Darwin. I don't know if they'll take them down, but I think this is going to be one of those races that in the last 2 weeks you're going to be watching is the Angels and Rangers and for the battle for the division. So I think the Angels are going to come around. I mean, they have some hitters who still haven't started clicking yet. You know, and Trumbo and Trout have been kind of leading that team. You know, and Pujols has been coming around now, but they have a couple of guys who still haven't started hitting yet. I mean, you know, Howie Kendrick is still hitting .250, .240. I don't know where he is, but and then you have, you know, Kendrick Morales, who still hasn't seemed to recover fully yet with his power number. So, I mean, he's a guy who's capable of hitting 30 to 40 bombs, and he's, you know, he's got like 9 this year so far. So, you know, they could get hot, and I think they could catch the Rangers. I think at the end the Rangers are going to pull it out by a game or two.
Trey, any chance the Houston Astros climb out of the cellar 21 and a half games back to catch the Reds?
the Astros, I can't even name you a player on the Astros other than Altuve, who made the All-Star game.
And the Braves, you know. Is that a little baby in the background?
Yeah, sorry, I'm on daddy duty now.
That's okay. That's all right. Congrats, by the way, again on that.
Thanks. He's gonna be a baseball and football fan. I can already tell.
I think he's an Auburn fan. I can tell. Yeah.
He's an Auburn fan.
And the Braves split with the Nationals this weekend. I mean, they're 3.5 games back. And honestly, looking at this division, Trey, I think it's coming down to the Braves and Nationals. I think the Mets are a little too far back. I think Santana's starting to struggle. The Marlins 11.5 back, and the Phillies a little too late, you know, 14 games out of first place. I think it's going to come down to these two teams, and I think both of them will be in the playoffs when it's all said and done.
Yeah, it's definitely going to come down to the Braves and Nationals.
Well, all right. And we're going to be on Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to rock and roll. Trey, give me the two teams you want to talk about this Wednesday night.
Let's go. Have we gone to the Pac-12 yet?
Yeah, we've done Oregon and USC.
You want to do Stanford, maybe?
Yeah, let's do Stanford. And we're going to do – have we done Georgia?
Let's do Georgia.
Stanford and Georgia. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight, and have fun on daddy duty. And everybody listening, thanks for listening. Have a great week at work or whatever you do, and please make sure to join us Wednesday night. And just to say about last Sunday night show, or Wednesday night show, Trey, it's second of all time on our listeners right now. So, I mean, we've grown a lot in July, so we thank all of y'all. And please just keep coming, listening to us. Listen to the archive version if you miss us live. I know sometimes it's hard to get the live version, but everybody's coming back and listening to the archive, and we really appreciate it, and we really want your feedback.
Yeah, Tom, so, absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for the show tonight, everybody listening, and we'll be back Wednesday. Have a great week.
See you later, Tarman.
See you later.